reported an urgent and horrifying news story.
Now, I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now, this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
Well, it looks like, John, we're going to have one domino fall in the coaching hiring adventure. John Harbaugh and the New York Giants are finalizing an agreement to make him their next head coach. According to Jordan Rannan of ESPN, barring any setbacks, a deal is expected to happen. And it's not final, and the contract numbers are still being negotiated with. There's apparently a lot of work to do, but he's going to make some good money. I mean, we can talk about fit. Is that fit? He's going to go in and he's going to put his stamp on the Giants. That's a good hire for Harbaugh, no question about it, or for the Giants. And we'll see. You know, he's been with Baltimore for so damn long that it's going to be crazy to see him on the sidelines for another team. 18 seasons as the coach of the Baltimore Ravens. Went 180 and 113. He won a Super Bowl years ago and then fired last week after missing the playoffs. And the Giants are awful. The Giants have gone 7-27 over the past two seasons. Do you think we're going to see coaches like Harbaugh and Tomlin? Harbaugh spent 18 years with Baltimore. Do you think that day and age is gone?
It has been gone for a while.
Well, it clearly wasn't, because Harbaugh just now got fired and Tomlin just now stepped down, so it hasn't been gone for a while.
And those guys were the last remnant.
Okay. Let me get Michael a Red Bull. Anybody have a Red Bull? We're going to bring one over. Travis, the new guy, texting in. Harbaugh going to the Giants is absolutely crazy. I thought he should have switched and coached the Steelers, and Mike Tomlin could coach the Ravens, and that would have been more fun. The Giants than the Giants. That's just crazy. That would have been interesting to see Harbaugh with the Steelers. But you heard Bisciotti, yes, you know, in some of the press conference the last 2 days saying, you know, as far as Tomlin going to Baltimore, he was more amazed, I think, that Tomlin was stepping down. But I did read the report yesterday that Tomlin likely to sit out in 2026, and who knows what he's going to do at that point. So Harbaugh also interviewed with the Falcons. And he had tentative plans to meet with the Titans on Thursday, but New York was the first team to have him in the facility for an interview, and it sounds like they're not going to let him go. So there you go. There's one. Got one down. Here's this story we knew would pop up. The NCAA asked a federal regulatory body Wednesday to stop prediction markets from offering trades on college sports until more safeguards are in place. In a letter addressed to the chairman of the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, the federal agency that regulates prediction markets, like is a coach going to get fired or is Billy Bob going to enter the transfer portal, NCAA President Charlie Baker said the growth of prediction markets poses a threat to the well-being of student-athletes as well as the integrity of competition. Baker identified several areas where he believes prediction markets need additional safeguards: age restrictions, advertising restrictions, robust integrity monitoring, the involvement of national governing bodies such as the NCAA, restrictions on prop bets, harm reduction resources, and anti-harassment measures. What is an anti-harassment measure? Don't be mean to the players. They put that in the back of the end zone somewhere. Kind of like they did stop hate and end racism. Because that's what will change a racist mind, is some words in the back of a football game. That's a weird one. And again, the idea of betting on whether or not a guy could enter the transfer portal, you can see how damaging that could be. It's pretty easy for someone to get their talons into a student athlete, say, hey, just by entering the portal, I've got whatever for you. Because there's a lot of people betting on that. The NCAA, Charlie did say that the NCAA is willing to work with the CFTC to develop these protections. which exists for legal sports books. The Coalition for Prediction Markets, that's the CFTC, ESPN has reached out to them for comment, but they haven't gotten back yet. Baker also discussed the request in his speech Wednesday at their 2026 NCAA convention, what we were talking about earlier. He said so-called prediction markets are offering what anyone can see is unregulated betting on college games. We need federal regulators to stabilize this market. In his speech, Baker referenced the steps that some of these organizations had taken to offer markets on the transfer portal as an example of why the NCAA needs federal intervention. Yeah, that is, to me, that's ridiculous. That one to me is an obvious, like, what if you want to predict NFL, whether or not a guy is going to get traded or not, I suppose billionaire owners or dealing with millionaire GMs, they're not going to be so easily swayed to trade a guy and for people to get their talents and say, hey, if you trade that guy, you get a whatever. But for kids in college, some of them aren't making a million yet, believe it or not. If someone comes to them and says, just by entering the portal, I'll give you this amount of money, it's insane. Prediction markets allow users to trade on the yes-no outcome of events, including sports, have increased in popularity over the past year. While traditional sportsbook operates in 39 states and the District of Columbia, the betting age is usually 21, prediction markets are available in all 50 states to users 18 and older. We'll see. That one is I figured we were going to have that one pop up again. Well, here's another one involved in gambling. Two top stories. Gambling. 20 men have been charged, according to ESPN, in a point-shaving scheme involving 39 college basketball players on 17 NCAA Division I teams, leading to 29 games being fixed, according to a federal indictment unsealed Thursday in the Eastern District of Pennsylvania. 15 of the defendants played college basketball during the 23-24 and 24-25 seasons. Two of the players named in the indictment, Kadavius Hunter and DeQuavion Short, were sanctioned in November by the NCAA for fixing New Orleans games. Four of the players charged, Simeon Cottle, Carlos Hart, Kameon Shell, and Umar Qureshi, have played for their current teams in the past week. So they were still playing. The allegations against Hart, Shell, and Qureshi stem from their previous schools. While Cottle's alleged incident occurred in the 23-24 season, none of the allegations against them involve this season. Wow. According to U.S. Attorney David Metcalf, this was a massive scheme that enveloped the world of college basketball. This was a significant and rampant corruption of college athletics. Oh, man, there's a former NBA guy in there, Antonio Blankenly, who was named but not charged in the indictment, says he was charged elsewhere. There's a 70-page document on this. They started collecting evidence around September 2022 and initially focused on all things fixing games in the Chinese Basketball Association. Then this group later targeted college basketball games, offering bribes to college players ranging from $10,000 to $30,000 to compromise games for betting purposes, according to the indictment. That's just another one, man. So you tack on the gambling stuff, which Charlie Baker's talking about. You tack on everything that's going on with NIL, transfer portal window scheduling, college football playoff scheduling, conferences thinking about breaking off and doing their own thing and just playing each other. Would they create their own playoff then? Would the SEC go off and create their own playoff? It is a wild mess. Do you think that, Mike, are we in danger of seeing college sports just crumble? Where we're talking, it just dissolves, and then like the SEC goes and does its own thing. And does the NCAA? I know it's an extreme question, but does the NCAA fail to exist at some point? Do we get that far?
I wonder if they were saying this back when Boston College was caught for point shaving.
But that's not...
I mean, it's so much worse now, but...
But everything I'm talking about now is new stuff, outside of the point shaving. You got that going on. Gambling is easier to do now, and it's easier to get a hold of someone. But now you have all this other stuff that's happening. Tampering. I mean, yes. Ed Orgeron said, you know, things have changed a bit. We used to give money in the front door or the back door. Now we give money through the front door. But with the money that's out there, the salary caps, now that NIL is recognized as something you can do, it seems to me, maybe we just know about it more, but it is run wild. Yeah, to say that it's not different, just look at the actual transfer portal. First off, the rules. It used to be where if you transferred, you had to sit out a year. That would entice players to stay out of this thing. I don't want to go sit out a year. I've only got 4 years or five or whatever. But now they can enter that portal every single year. You could potentially be on a different team every single year. You could be at a different school all of your college career and not have to sit out at all. GoPoke says, could you make the argument that the NCAA is essentially non-existent now? Yeah, I mean, I guess it's good that you got the president talking about gambling and imploring these future prediction things, whatever the hell it is. It's good that he's talking about it, and they're getting some things addressed. But like yesterday, we talked about the whole red shirt thing. Was that really a major problem? Was that really on the forefront of what's going on in college athletics? Was that what everybody said, oh, no, man. You know what's killing college sports? You know what's killing college football is the whole four-game minimum redshirt thing. That's what's doing it. Like that, I don't even really view that as a problem. I view that as a luxury. That's a good thing for the players, sure. But it's not something that I thought was, when you think of the major issues surrounding college sports, you're not throwing that one out first or second or third. The major issue is tampering. That's the number one. And that encompasses the transfer portal and name, image, and likeness deals, contracts that aren't real contracts. They can hold a little sway. But in the case of Damon Williams, it was, to my understanding, it was more of a, do you want to waste your time fighting this, or do you want to get on a good football team or stay on a good football team, a well-known program? It is insane. And they don't hold up. I do think if Damon Williams really wanted to fight it, he could have gotten out of it. It's not a real contract by the team necessarily. It is an NIL contract that wasn't supposed to exist. We're not supposed to pay for play. The NLI, I saw a fascinating podcast yesterday. I'm blanking out on who it was, but it was good. The verbiage in that contract never once says anything about his duties as playing quarterback for Washington. It never once really clarifies, hey, you have to be quarterback for Washington. It's an NIL deal while you're here at Washington, while you're a student here. You get this money. Doesn't say anything, really. I mean, yeah, there are some clauses in there that have to do with injury and stuff, but it's not a, hey, you will get this money for playing quarterback for Washington. You're getting this money because you're here and you're going to school here. And you're, I guess, playing football, but it wasn't like a very specific thing to play. So, and maybe that's how they got protected a bit. I don't know. But this idea that those deals are going to be protected, I don't know that the NCAA got a win in this. I think this was more or less, in reading the lawyer's post on LinkedIn that represented, that took over and represented Damon Williams after his agent left him, basically said there comes a point when you have to weigh, is this worth it? Is this good for the player in question and the program and the NCAA? And it was discussed amongst the lawyer team and Damon Williams that maybe this isn't worth it. That was not an admission that you would lose if you took this thing to court. In fact, I believe he would have won, but win. And no school's picking him up while he's in this legal battle. So this would take months, right? Maybe even a year or so. Could they expedite? I don't know. But then you would miss out on the transfer portal and teams would already go and pick up their quarterbacks and then you're stuck and now you're out of Washington. So it was believed more or less you don't have the time to do this. So between all the things going on, I just don't know. The NCAA was brought in, was created to regulate and grow the student athlete brand. But then when it became noticeable that players are becoming worth something, and I mean that in a fiscal sense, the NCAA fought hard to put up barriers around student athletes receiving money, which I was always passionate about them being able to make some money. I thought it odd that you or I could go to college and we could go to work. I was in college when I started my internship at this radio station. I was in college. I could work while still getting my degree towards something I'm majoring in. I always thought it odd that you could go do those things, but then suddenly student athletes weren't allowed really to go work. They got a stipend or whatever, but they didn't really get to make much. Most of my friends had jobs. And then when the idea of NIL started popping up, and I guess that went back to the O'Bannon thing with the NCAA game, and then Johnny Football and Jeremy Bloom, not Orlando Bloom, Jeremy Bloom, that was obvious to me. Like, yes, sign an autograph, charge for it if you want. If they'll pay, then great. It's worth what they'll pay. You're an Olympic skier, but you can't make endorsement money because you play football for the Colorado Buffaloes? Insane. So, and I saw a text this morning during our conversation on Good Morning NoCo of, like, at first we complained because there were too many regulations in the NCAA. Now we're complaining that there's not enough. Well, my point is it's all or nothing with the NCAA. At first it was regulate everything. Guy can't do anything. Student athletes are under a microscope and they're not like treated like a free student athlete or like a student. But now that they keep losing lawsuits or they keep getting sued and losing, they're basically, and I guess I don't blame them, basically can't do anything. So that's why you have conferences now saying, you're not doing anything, bro. We're going to go just do our own thing. We'll regulate. And it'll be a free market thing. And it'll just be the SEC works within there. They're doing it kind of anyway. But now more than ever, that's what they're going to want to do. Until the NCAA gets some teeth. And this, the CSC, the College Sports Commission. There's 95 tampering cases out there so far this year. Cases. That doesn't mean they've done anything with them. That means they're looking into them. That means a certain player's getting $2 million from a soda shop and they're trying to figure out if that's really worth $2 million. And I say the answer to that is it is worth whatever the business says it's worth. If I'm giving a guy $2 million, that's my business. I'm going to give him $2 million to do an autograph signing. And to me, it's worth $2 million because that kid is amazing. I don't know how you go. And all this is going to do is just make people craftier. It's just going to make the businesses say, because this money laundering thing that one, was it a Big Ten official said something like that? It's just going to make you get smarter about how you do it. It's like Tony Soprano. He wasn't in the mafia. He was in waste management. This will be, okay, you want to give us $2 million? We got to make sure he does 20 different things then. I saw that personally. We would get from certain collectives in the area, and this isn't a negative, this is a positive, would reach out and say, hey, could we get so-and-so on for some interviews and to help fulfill some of their duties as a part of their NIL deal? So if they're working with, I don't know, Shields or something, and that's just a random name, then, you know, that part of their deal is that they're out in the media promoting Shields. So then I would get, and this was not Shields for the record, then I would get emails that were like, hey, can we get certain player on to come on and talk foot, you know, talk about the season, and then at the end, you know, promote Shields. You hear that a lot. We've had professional athletes on, Patrick Surtain before, and he's promoting something, but we're also talking Broncos.
I mean, professional players do that too. You had Brian Urlacher on.
Pushing pork rinds.
What was he talking about? Pork chops or something?
Yeah. Well, Surtain last year, promoting some event, nonprofit that he was putting on.
I mean, like, this happens with professional players too. The difference is it's professional players, and we're used to that, and there's some, you know, regulation of that. This is just the wild, wild west.
Yeah. And that's the difference between pro and college right now.
You can have, like, you can have a business approach Pat Surtain, and, you know, they're like, hey, we want you to do this, and he'll be like, sure, I'll do this. That's awesome. But, like, college is just different because it started off wrong.
And they're not, Michael, they're not. I'm sorry, but okay, they're adults, but they're young adults.
Yeah, their brains aren't fully formed.
And there are people that I've discussed this with that say, yeah, we did an NIL deal with so-and-so. We're not going to do that again because we couldn't get a hold of them. We couldn't. It was, I'd text them or email them, and I wouldn't hear back for like a week or two, and then we'd have to get schedules organized, and then wouldn't show up. These are real stories. We're lucky. We've been very lucky with the stuff that we've done on the radio shows. They all show up. Are they tough to get a hold of sometimes? Like, I'll tell you right now, Brock Wisney, that's the easiest one we've ever had. That guy is going places in his life, I'm telling you. But yes, there's been a bunch of players that I have to track down throughout the week. Like, when can we get you on? When can we get you on? It's part of it. Because if I don't get them on, then the business that's sponsoring the segment or the show is like, what the hell? We didn't do a show this week. Now, we've been lucky. We've been fortunate. But there's a lot of other negative stories out there where they're not fulfilling those, and now they're going to have to crack down on that even more. Because they got to make damn sure that when the College Sports Commission starts digging in, you better have a track record of crap. I almost cussed right there. You better have a track record of stuff that you've done with your NIL deal. Because we can't just give you $4 million to be a person.
Yeah. Well, I'm surprised they haven't done that already. You have to keep in mind, though, a lot of these kids grew up in neighborhoods where, like, they don't know economics as well.
And so, there's
like,
a lot of people that don't.
They're dealing with this stuff, and it's new to them. And, like, it's not necessarily anybody's fault. Plus, they have girlfriends. They have practice. They, you know, they're going to parties. They're being a young person. Like, I don't necessarily blame the athlete, even though I kind of blame the athlete, but it's kind of, you get who you sign, and it sucks that, you know, some of these young kids, they don't have, like, you know, I had parents that taught me how to balance a checkbook, even though I didn't listen.
Yeah, I don't know how to balance a checkbook now.
Yeah, because I didn't listen.
Luckily, we don't need to do that. We have robots to do that for us now, right?
Yeah, we have Turbo something.
Go Pokes, you need a laugh. You've had worse luck with coaches than players looking at you, Ed. Not the current Ed, the old Ed. Yeah. The players, get me down that road. The players were easier to deal with than former Broncos legend. I'll tell you that right now.
I think it really helps that we started off with Ellison Hubbard. Like, Ellison Hubbard
set the tone.
Was solid.
Yeah.
It's still solid. And he recommended someone who was solid. And you kept getting people who were solid.
Yeah. Well, we did. We went after the big fish, but thankfully, with the coaches in this area, they look for a certain kind of person to be on their roster So then when we deal with them, they're easy to deal with. Like, David Roddy was amazing. I got to meet his mom, and we dealt with everything together. She was fantastic. Isaiah Stevens, he was amazing. Neat Clifford, all these guys that came on and did these shows with us were fantastic. Now, they would get busy. The guys that got drafted, they were pretty damn busy down the stretch. And it was, you know, it was a lot of texting back and forth. Like, when can we do it? Okay, I can't do it this time. I can't do it this time. But can we do it this time? And, you know, we had to kind of work on the fly there. 31 minutes after the hour. This is the problem with all of this stuff, though. In the College Sports Commission, they start sniffing around. It's pretty easy to say, hey, Billy, you want this $1 million? You have to have this, 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 and this accomplished by this date. Otherwise, they will go back and dig in and prove that you didn't actually do anything for that NIL and you were essentially being paid to play. The NIL is supposed to pay you to endorse my product. I'm using your name, image, and likeness to endorse my product. Now, you got that name, image, and likeness from playing quarterback at so-and-so school, but that's not what I'm paying you for. Legally, I'm paying you to endorse my product. That could be anybody, but it's you. What's happening now is schools are NIL deals are simply just saying, here's the cash. We'll cross that bridge when we come to it. That can't happen anymore. And it's happening. 32 after the hour. Let's take a quick break here, Michael. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
What's happening in your community? Sports news and talk. Good morning, NoCo. Weekdays 6 to 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour. Michael, I am so freaking torn on this game between the Bills and the Broncos. Like I said yesterday, man, I could see it going a really rough way for Denver to start off. Can this offense score touchdowns? Like, the confidence level in this offense scoring touchdowns is just... Based on what we've seen for the most part with Denver, they just aren't a great offense. And that's what we saw Houston win out defensively. That made me think, okay, maybe Denver's defense is going to rise to this occasion and they'll be lights out just like they were throughout the regular season. But they were very good last year, Mike. And then they crumbled off and on in December. And then obviously fell apart against the Bills last year, giving up 31 points. Is it different now for the Broncos' mindset that they're not just getting into the playoffs? Because didn't they get in as a seventh last year? Weren't they the last one in? Do you think there's a difference of mindset? Now, Sean Payton says myth number three, experience doesn't matter. But don't you think that the mentality of Denver this year compared to last year has to be, we're not just happy to be in the playoffs anymore. We are the team to beat, and we're here to win a Super Bowl. I don't think that was realistically the mentality. I really don't. I mean, I'm not saying that they didn't believe they could beat the Bills last year, but it's human nature. And I think even ask Broncos fans, you hadn't been to the playoffs in 10 years. It was just nice to get a trip to the dance. Whatever happens, happens. I picked the Broncos to lose that game. I picked the Bills to cover that game. And they did. It looked great at first. Denver went up quickly, got up 7-0. This is a early legacy defining moment or game for Bo Nix. This does not mean he's a bust if he struggles. This does not mean he's not the franchise quarterback. I think he's certainly made that point fairly obvious. I think, right? There's no doubt that there's no doubt in your mind that Bo Nix is the guy going forward, right? The fact that I have to ask it that way. Lonster's on the First Advantage Hotline. Lonster, what's on your mind, my friend?
I'm Brady.
Oh, man. I'm good. How are you doing?
Hey, doing good. It's getting a little windy up here in Loveland.
Have they shut the power off yet?
You know, I live in a city where they don't shut the power off where I live.
They shut ours off. Apparently, that's coming tomorrow, so we'll be ready for that, Lonster.
Get your generator ready.
I'll get it. The one we have is magical. It just turns on, and then it automatically turns off when the power's back. It's amazing. I don't know how it works. I'm scared of it.
You know what? It's that electrical thing. Just be glad you got backup power.
Yes, 100%. What's on your mind, my friend?
I'm glad you asked. You know what? Denver, if they need to win this thing, that offense needs to get out there and score a few more points than what they've been scoring.
I just think it's on the offense. I do.
I do, too. I mean, really, Sean needs to really get his act together and start getting this offense cooking a little bit.
Yeah, there's part of me that just says maybe they were coasting a bit. You know, maybe Sean wasn't showing his hand, and maybe this team was good enough to win games without opening up the entire playbook. But then there's another part of me that says maybe that's just who this team is.
I think that's the way this team is. I really do. I mean, if this team was out there, that offense was out there earlier, man, they could be out there racking up points like you wouldn't believe, but they needed to.
You like the Broncos winning this game, Lonster?
You know what? I'm going to give Denver a chance.
You think so? It sounded like you were kind of go the opposite way, but you think maybe the Broncos will win this thing.
I really do. Because right now, Buffalo, their offense is so banged up.
They got a lot of injuries. They got a lot. So much talk is Josh Allen. You know, how good can a quarterback be, though, when you don't have the weapons that you're used to? You don't have – a lot of guys are banged up. I guess, you know, Josh Allen can't do it all, right?
That's right. And that defense, I think Durkin is going to be up there just ready to hit him no matter what happens.
Well, and he's banged up already, and this is a very – I mean, this is a defense, even if they're not getting sacks, they're getting to you. They have a very consistent pass rush, so they're going to be getting after Allen – you know, all day. It'll just be on how quick can Josh Allen be.
Yep, that's for sure, you know.
Well, I appreciate the call, my friend.
Hey, you have a good day, and go Broncos.
Who's that sound like? I didn't pick it up. It didn't register.
He said go Broncos.
No, okay. That's kind of what you say all the time.
That's him imitating you doing the nerdy thing, plus me saying go Broncos.
No, I think that's just you. That's just you. 43 after the hour. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Chris Abshire, Fort Collins, Colorado, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
So apparently, Josh Allen's wife, Haley Steinfeld, is in the news today, Michael. You'll appreciate this. On February 7th, 2016, that would have been the Super Bowl, right? Super Bowl 50?
Maybe. I don't know. I can't do math.
Google it. You can Google it. Producer, Google it, please. Thank you. Haley Steinfeld, just Google, when did the Broncos win Super Bowl 50? Haley Steinfeld was apparently at the game. Was that at the Super Bowl? And she's wearing a Broncos jacket. And she tweeted, yeah, that was the Super Bowl. I got it. Thanks, Mike. She says, hell yeah, Broncos. Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point with a firecracker. Hashtag starter official, hashtag Super Bowl. So she was a Broncos fan. And apparently Bills fans, according to Athlon Sports, are urging her to take down that post from nearly a decade ago. That's kind of odd. Now, should she take it down? Hell no. even if this were Bo Nix's wife and she did this in 2016 and posted something about the Bills, I wouldn't say this. I wouldn't say take it down. She was a Broncos fan at one point. Now she's a Bills fan. Yeah, grow up.
Who cares? It was 9 years ago.
Yeah.
You should see this. She did the little, what is that, thing?
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm saying. She did the dab.
She used to be awesome. Now she's just an actress.
She did the Cam Newton dab thing when the Broncos beat the Panthers in the Super Bowl. No, don't take it down. Doesn't do anything.
No, who cares?
But it's fun. It's definitely fun.
She's married to a Buffalo Bill now.
She wasn't. Like, yeah,
she
people change
allegiances.
You have to. That's the rule. 12:50 the time. Let's wrap up hour number two. We got buy or sell coming up. More Broncos Bills. Kevin Lytle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado, and later on the program. We've got Rams Weekly coming up at 2 today as well. It's the whole show. Don't go anywhere.
Carry the Broncos all the way, or will someone else rise to the occasion? Hear Broncos games and talk on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, I'm Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Join the Good Morning NoCo crew tonight, 5 o'clock. They'll be getting the party started at Wing Shack. They're going to have the Greeley Stampede concert announcement. We're going to find out who's playing at the Stampede this year. It's always an exciting time. And I know Tanner Schwint and Brian Gary will be doing a video, doing some announcement stuff there, too. You're going to get a chance to win tickets. Great deals going on at Wing Shack tonight. So stop by and enjoy the announcement of the concert lineup for this summer's Greeley Stampede. It's not as far off as you think. Buy or sell, up next.